gather this Sunday on the third, whoa, there I am, on the third Sunday of Easter, and declaring that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And so we begin this service on this third Sunday of Easter with Worship Christ the Risen King. It's number 225 in your hymnal, verses 1 and 2. Rise, O church. Worship Christ the Risen King.
Rise, O church, and lift your voices. Christ has conquered death and hell. Sing as all the earth rejoices. Resurrection.
Welcome to Laguna Presbyterian Church this morning. We invite you to greet one another, turn, shake hands, give one another a big smile, if you would, please. We're aware that there are a number of you here this morning who are visiting with us from other churches and traditions, and we want to welcome you as a part of our congregation today. We are delighted to have Father Elias Chakur with us today. He comes from a place where, you know, it's hard to believe, you know, that he's the Archbishop of Galilee. I mean, he walks literally in the footsteps of Jesus. And we are delighted to have him with us today. He has blessed us before, back in the early 90s. A group of us were at his school in Abilene in 1996. And when I had an opportunity to extend an invitation for him to preach here this morning, I certainly wanted to do it. So you are welcome. You're in for a real blessing in hearing Father Chakur this morning. His books, the new updated edition, is available this morning over in the Fellowship Hall, and it's there that we're going to have a brunch, a free brunch. All of you are invited, and we'll have a Q&A time after the worship service this morning, and I think you'll find a lot of interesting, not only questions, but answers and insight as to what's going on in the Middle East. So hope you will join us. As you leave the sanctuary this morning, you'll have an opportunity to pick up one of these little green strips. This is Laguna Presbyterian Church's month, the month of April, to provide food for the food pantry, for the working poor in Laguna and this area. So one of these strips will tell you what to bring to church so that it can be delivered to the food pantry. So follow up on that. The connections inside the bulletin contains the announcements of the week, but if you're interested in finding out more about who we are and what it is we believe, what it means to be in mission with us for Jesus Christ through the Laguna Presbyterian Church, note that April 28th is our inquirer's lunch and new members class. Red Cross blood drive on May the 1st. Join me in prayer. Lord God, we turn our hearts to you. We are so grateful that we belong to a worldwide fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, many different colors and races and languages and tribes. But in Christ, we belong to you and to one another. And you've reconciled us and anointed us to be peacemakers and to make a difference in this world. So we ask your blessing upon us as we worship you this morning, as we realize that our worship of you only begins here, but it continues out in our everyday life in which we seek to make peace and friends for those who need to be touched by the love of God. Bless us in this hour, we pray, in your name. Amen. Before we continue on, I want to just recognize and introduce Joan Deming, Joan Stand. Joan is a United Methodist minister. She is the executive director of Pilgrims of Ibelin, and she'll be at the book table this morning. Joan, we welcome you too. She lives in Madison, Wisconsin. We're delighted to have you here. Let's join in our call to worship. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord, God, I will seek your good.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Church, let us stand and worship the living God.
Thank you.
It's what the Lord has done in me.
Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. And let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit. Bless us, O Lord, our God. Bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit. Bless us, O Lord, our God.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will receive comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they will be filled.
Bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit. Bless us, O Lord, our God. Bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit. Bless us, O Lord, our God.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit. Bless us, O Lord, bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit. Bless us, O Lord, our God.
Bless us, O Lord, make us poor in spirit.
Hear us as we pray.
Amen. Christ is our peace. Those who are divided, he has made one. He has broken down the barriers of separation by his death and has built us up into one body with God. To all who repent and believe, he has promised reconciliation. So let us live as people reconciled. Amen.
Reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, 1 to 12. The Lord says to us today, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruits, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch . If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be perfect. The word of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, it is a very unique honor for me to stand in your presence from this pulpit to address you as a member of the family. Although I have been for so long your forgotten brother, your unknown brother, your neglected brother, very often your persecuted brother. But I never cease from loving you, from wishing to see you, to get to know you, to be in touch with you, because I know that without that, I cannot be in touch with my compatriot, my champion, Jesus Christ. I am your brother. I'm a Palestinian. I have no bombs. I'm coming to you with a very strong love of the Lord, who made it possible that there is no more privilege for Jew against Gentile, for man against woman, for Lord against slave. You know why? It's because he taught us that we are all called to become adopted children of God, even you Presbyterian Americans. That's the honor I feel in being in your presence. And I bring you the greetings of your Palestinian Christian brothers scattered all around Galilee. They persevered in their faith for 2,013 years. Many of their children have been martyred. Many have been dispersed, sent in diaspora. But a small remnant remained despite odds and problems in their own villages in the Galilee region. And I'm the very fortunate man to be their archbishop. I feel that so concretely in my flesh, that my community is a very special community. In the membership, we have someone called Jesus Christ, someone called Mary, few others called the apostles. It's such a great honor to have them as members of my community. But I tell you, they are very difficult to deal with. You cannot take them light. like what we have heard from the Lord this morning. He is the vine, you are the branches. We have to make the choice, brothers and sisters, whether to be tied to the vine or to separate and be alone. Take life, I don't know where from. Surely without being very tied to Him, without being connected to Him, without being united with Christ, we cannot give life because we would be deprived from life. We preach in the church so often about justice, about peace, about hospitality, but we forget what you have started with this morning when you greeted the community by saying, Christ is risen, He is truly risen. This is exactly what we do at Easter. We stop greeting each other with happy feast. How are you? Good morning, good evening. All that is forgotten, is put aside. We greet each other morning, midday, evening, for every occasion, even for the funerals. We greet each other by saying, Christ is risen. And we have the answer, He is risen indeed. And I'm coming here to remind you of that. We Palestinian Christians, we're not that good philosophers and bad theologians. Because we decided to be storytellers. We delight telling the story of our compatriot, our man from Galilee. This is what is specific in our religion. It's not an ideological religion. It's not a religion of that came from heaven. No, it came from a certain country, a certain place. It started in a certain town called Nazareth. It is a geographical religion, relates to a spot of land on our planet. And those who have been in the Holy Land know very well that since they have been there, they are no more able to read the Bible in the same way they read it before. It relates to places. But I want to invite you this morning, whenever you go there, to relate more than to places, more than to stones, to antiquities. I invite you to relate much more to the living stones, to the Christians who are living there, who would love to see you, who are waiting to tell you, welcome, come in. They will offer you what they have. Very often when they are refugees, they don't have money to buy you a meal. They will go to the neighbors and borrow money and buy you a meal. They would not ask for your identity or for your nationality. They just will welcome you as brother and sister, as a so far unknown brother and sister. And when you would be about to leave them, they would start asking things. May I ask you a favor? You startle, what they want now? You say, what do you want? And they would say, may I keep your address to be in touch? We need to be in touch with you. Because we know we are branches of the same vine. If we cannot be connected together, how can we pretend being connected to the Muslim world, to the Jewish world, or to the outsider world? The main thing is to make peace in the family, to make connection with brothers and sisters, and to give the witness of unity, of loving God among His own people. If we are not able, or if we don't pay attention enough to love each other, how can we pretend loving others? So I understand that you like to go and visit the Holy Sepulchre. It's great. Go and do that. But go inside. Don't stay long. It's smelly. It's dark. Not beautiful. And you are unable to read what's on the marble. It's hidden by wax. If you read it, you would say, goodness, where am I? If you read, it's in Latin, unfortunately. Very few read Latin. Maybe the Pope and the Cardinals, but not more. Well, it is written there something that is written nowhere else in the world. You read, he is not here. Tell me, what are you going to do where he is not? And they continue saying, he is risen. So get out very quickly from that sepulcher. And if I have any ambition to ask from you now, you are a people who are doing well financially, socially, in many aspects. But don't you think that I and you have to get out very, very fast, out from our own made sepulchres, our own closed individuality, our own inclination to be isolated, to be alone, to be left in peace? Which peace can we have without the peace with our brothers and sisters? To love God is very easy. It's much more difficult to love our neighbor. Exactly as going to the moon. You have done that, bravo. You went to the moon. But when will I stand here and say, bravo, you have knocked on the door of your neighbor? My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you in the name of the 150,000 Palestinian Christians who are still in the Holy Land, and they represent only 25% of Palestinian Christianity. The other 75% have been ethnically cleansed in 1948 with their Muslim brothers and sisters, and they became the refugees. They became the deportees. Let me say that they became the Jews of the Jews. And the poorest among the Palestinians managed, despite odds, problems, persecutions, limitations, deprivation, they were able to stay inside the territory of Palestine, which became Israel. And we are trying our utmost to be a voice of moderation between the two conflicting parts. I know I am a victim of the occupation. I'm a victim of the existence of Israel. But I decided not to live to be stuck in the past. The past is only memory. And I do not want to live in the imagination what the future will be. I want to live the present moment now and be almost obsessed. How can I build a human relation with my neighbor, the Jew, the Muslim, the Druze? We're not able to go to the moon to escape that real problem. And our main problem is how to reject every kind of violence. Although we are labeled terrorists, I am a terrorist. Although we are labeled terrorists, we shout and whisper to the ears of our brothers, our friends and our foes, we are a terrorized nation. We are not terrorists. We have much less terror among us than there is in the United States. How many times we hear a young boy taking his machine gun and guns his schoolmates, or a man who imprisons himself and then explodes himself in Waco, Texas, because of his extremist belief. And many other crimes are committed, whether in Washington or in this town. We never say that the Americans are a nation of terrorists. We concluded that poor Americans, they have huge problem with terror. Why don't you do the same for us? We are terrorized. We lost our country. We lost our problems, our dignity. We became refugees, most of us. And we want to find a common way, a common language with the powerful Jews that are there. And it is extremely difficult. We had the honor and privilege before Christmas to have the president of the state of Israel come to the archbishopric to wish us Happy Christmas, Happy New Year. That was the first time that such visit is done. I told the president, we receive you with our warmest welcome. I wish to receive you back in my village that was destroyed by the Israeli army. It's there, my place. And he said to me, Your Excellency, you left Bar'am when you were just 8 or 9 years old. It's 60 years ago. And you still remember that Bar'am is your village? When are you going to forget Bar'am as being your native village? I said, Monsieur Perez, I'm very sorry to answer you. You have been kicked out from Palestine 2,000 years ago by the Roman power. And you still remember that this is your country. We don't have a worse memory than you. He said, touché, but did not do anything to repair the evil done. We want to live the moment now, how to build bridges between us and between the Jews. We want you to help us in that sense, not in sending us weapons. We don't want weapons. Weapons have been the cause of calamity for all of us, Jews as well as Palestinians. We don't want money. With money, we can do something good. But without money, we will persevere in doing what we want to do. We want your help. First, your friendship. Then, your solidarity. In the name of Christ, I ask you to give me the solidarity I need. I mean, to accept, to question all your convictions so far. Adjust. This is the meaning of the beatitude. Not blessed, but get up, go ahead, do something. Get your hands dirty. I call you to adjust. Which means I don't intervene in your interpersonal relations. Your human privacy is for you. But I think I'm entitled this morning to address you. Please question all your convictions with regards to the Jews and the Palestinians in Israel-Palestine. If you have Jewish friends, God bless you. No matter who are these Jews, excellent, good human Jews, fine. Less excellent, fanatical Jews, fine. Jews pro-settlements, that means they dream every day how to get rid of my physical existence, fine. I invite you never to give up your friendship to these Jews. Continue giving them your friendship. They need you. Stand with them. Give them help. All the money of the United States, I will not be upset. A little bit less weapons would be very helpful. But you stand beside the Jews. Why should that automatically mean that you become anti-Palestinian? You hate the Palestinians. You don't know us. Am I the first Palestinian to stand in this pulpit or among the very rare and to address you to tell you, brothers and sisters, I love the Jews. I hate what they do to us. Nobody is entitled to enslave or to persecute anybody else. And if by any chance you have been in touch with Palestinians, you listen to the one or other stories, and every Palestinian has a story of suffering, of pain, of disappointment, of disillusion. If you have read one or the other books and you decided to take the side of Palestinians, my side, why not, brother, sister? Do take our side. Not only is not bad, it's good for once you would be on the right side. But if taking our side. And I am utterly serious. If you take our side, you Palestinians, and you interpret that you have to be with us against the Jews. If taking our side would mean that you would show understanding for everything we do, whether some despairing people go and kill themselves, or whether others who can commit violence. If you would encourage us as our friends to hate the Jews, in that case, we do not need your friendship. We do not need it. We don't need you to be on one side against the other side. One-sidedness, neighbor's crime with the criminal. What do you do to yourself if you are one-sided for the Jews against the Palestinians, Palestinians against the Jews? Will you reduce your generosity to become simply one more enemy in this big conflict? We don't want to see you as enemies of us. We rather expect you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Christ, who united all the differences together, who destroyed the wall of separation, we invite you to become a common friend for the Jews and for the Palestinians. We wish to see you in Galilee. May God bless this church. And you, my dear brother Jerry. Well, I read on your door that you wrote at Pope, as if you were the Pope. Seriously, I have no objection. Because our nowadays Pope seems to be some kind of different Pope. The Pope of the poor, of the humbles, of those marginalized. The Pope who comes to the people, to the nations. That's what you do. Either you do like him, and I think he came after you. He should do like you. I bless you and thank you for giving me the pulpit. May God bless you.
Amen. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we give of our offering this morning. Let us pray. Holy Father, you commanded light to shine out of darkness, divided the sea and dry land, created the vast universe and called it good. You made us in your image to live and move and have our being. You gave us the breath of life. You took these hearts of stone and gave us the will to love you. We thank you for revealing your glory, the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word that guides us into your truth and salvation. And we thank you for your grace that blesses us with love and hope. And we pray for those parts of the world that need your intervention, even as we gather here for worship. We lift up Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. We pray for collaboration, for peace. For Israel and Palestine, we pray for the things that lead to peace. We lift up those who are put down by poverty, hurt by conflict, or scorned by neighbors. We pray for forward-looking courage to reach towards wiser ways, that encouragement that would come with the God-given ability to find common ground, to live together with that shared desire for peace, justice, and righteousness. We now lay at your feet the fruits of our labor. Accept them as signs of our gratefulness and use them to further your purpose over all creation by your church. For the sake of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Paul said that through the cross that Jesus Christ has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between us. May that be true in our lives today.
By his love, let the walls fall down.
Jesus said in Galilee, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And Jesus said, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Go forth to do the work of Christ, to share the love of God, to love one another, to tear down the walls, to be friends with all people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." We'll be right back.